We're looking at 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And I'm going to be reading what I like to call the Authorized Clayton Translation. And if that bothered you, I'm actually reading from about 5 different translations that I think make it easier going. So whatever translation you have really doesn't matter. I'll try to call the verses as we go. But the NIV and the King James and the Williams translation and the Phillips translation all say the same thing. It's just some of it's a little easier to comprehend than others. Let me ask you a question. What do you think about your life? What do you think about your life? You have 2 possibilities. Number one, you can believe this is all we have. This is it. That's the atheistic point of view. That's the naturalistic point of view. One of the great atheists of our day, Julian Huxley, said, quote, "We are as much a product of blind forces as is the falling of a stone to earth or the ebb and flow of the tides. We have just happened, and man was made flesh by a long series of singularly beneficial accidents." Well, eloquently said, is that your view? Is that what you understand about life? See, the alternative to that is Genesis 1 and verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female created he them. Christianity has many, many unique characteristics. The Bible has many unique claims. But one of them that is so compelling is eloquently stated in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter and verse 13. Brethren, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. What do you believe about your life? I'm here today to you to say that the Bible offers something different, something special. Last week, we talked about death. We talked about the difference between the Christian view and every other view that's out there. Part of that was focused around the loss of our brother, Jim Harris Savage. I was kind of pleased to hear that Jim's humor and the spinoffs of his is still alive. I was talking to Dan Shuck, one of the members of the Niles Church, and he said he grew up with Jim, and a lady named Gail's Rickerverse called Jim half a sandwich instead of Harris Savage. Well, it's good that we can smile, and I'm sure Jim is smiling because Jim is in such a better place today. And we have that hope. We have that knowledge. We have that difference. And 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 35, talks about this in incredible detail and with scientific accuracy in everything we can check. Starting with verse 35. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Now that is talking without using your minds. Phillips' translation says, in your own experience, you know that a seed does not germinate without dying. Verse 37. And when green shoot comes up out of a seed, it is very different from the seed you first planted. But it is a naked grain of wheat. It may be something else. Verse 38. But God gives it a body as he plans. And to every seed, the body of its own proper plant. Listen to this. All flesh is not the same flesh. And here is an important distinction. I'm in verse 39. But there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beast, another flesh of birds, and another of fishes. You know, that's absolutely true. Science has proven that there are kingdoms of animals and that there are separate kinds. There are different species, but just four kinds. And I look out here at my birds and I see a very different kind of creature than what I see when I look at my wife. It's important to understand that this separation was certainly not understood until recent times. So there's one kind of human, but we're all human. We don't have different species of humans. Atheists have tried to use that to justify slavery and everything else. But we're all one. Galatians 3 says that. Biology says that. Genetics says that. And the Word of God says that. What a tragedy that we have distorted and misused Scripture to justify our arrogant, egotistical self-righteousness in enslaving other people. But it goes on. Verse 40. There are bodies which exist in this world, and there are bodies that exist in the heavens. And the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one thing, and the beauty of earthly bodies is another. Verse 41. The sun has a splendor of its own, and the moon has another splendor. You know how long it took for us to understand that the moon reflects light and the sun generates light? You know how long that took? You know how many silly, stupid myths were rotated and even today continue to be rotated about these objects? But then the last part of verse 41. And another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. Do you know how long it took to understand that not all stars are the same? Actually, you can sit out at night, get away from the lights, and you can see some stars are red, and some are white, and some are blue. We didn't have any explanation of all that until modern times. Now we understand what the Bible says. One star differs from another star in its beauty, in its brightness, in its glory, whatever translation you have. When I taught earth science, we had a thing called the Hertzsprung-Russell diagram, in which we plotted all of the different kinds of stars in space on a diagram where we put luminosity against temperature. And I always had kids who would say, wow, I didn't realize there were that many different stars. Well, like 100 billion? All different from one another? What a testimony to the power and the strength and the majesty and the beauty of God. Okay, so is this a science lesson? Where are we going with this? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 42 and 43. So also is the resurrection of the dead. When the body is sown, it decays. When it rises, it can't decay. You know, I don't feel sorry for Jim Harris Savage now. I feel enormous empathy for Brenda, for his kids. The loss after seeing him fight such an incredibly strong, terrifically sacrificial fight. We were at the building the other day and someone said, you know who cleaned that ceiling up there 1 year ago today? Jim Harris Savage. How quickly our body can decay. And my body is decaying. And it's not just the arthritis. Bill Salmons was telling me this morning, you know, I didn't feel too good this morning. Yeah, me either. We're decaying. So it is sown, it decays. Yeah. We're all getting old. When it rises, it can't decay. There's a change. Verse 43. The bodies we now have embarrass us, for they become sick and die. But they will be full of glory when we come back to life again. Yes, they are weak, decaying, dying bodies now. But when we live again, they will be full of strength. Verse 44, the body sown is animal. It is raised a body of the spirit. As surely as there is a human body, there is also a spiritual body. Can you follow the logic of Paul here? The wisdom that God gave this man to state things that we have only come to know in the 21st century. And then to give us a message that even people of his day could understand. It is sown a physical body. In the spring, we see stuff coming up. My wife has turned out to be an excellent gardener. The only trouble is she forgets where she plants stuff. So what do? Well, we sit back and wait and watch for what comes up. Oh, yeah, I remember now. I planted that. See, that seed died. It was buried in the ground. And it comes forth something beautiful. And this body is ugly. Looks better today. I got a haircut. But that's not the body I'll be raised with or without hair. So Paul doesn't leave it there. After making those things that are very, very obvious, he makes a parallel between the physical and the spiritual, verse 45. And so it is written, Adam, the first man, was made a natural living being. And the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Verse 46. Observe, the spiritual does not come first. You know, we didn't get up in the morning and find a bunch of tulips blooming out there. What we see doesn't come always from what we can't see. But when we see a beautiful flower, we know somebody planted it. So again, verse 46, observe, the spiritual does not come first, but the physical, and afterward, that which is spiritual. Verse 47, man, the first is from the earth, material. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Jesus built into every one of us in our creation an eternal soul. Verse 48. The nature of the man made of dust is repeated in all men. All made of dust. See, I don't care what your race is. I don't care what your sex is. I don't care what your IQ is. I don't care what your money is. It's dust to dust, folks. It's dust to dust. Thank God it's dust to dust. Because I don't want to live 979 years with this body. Poor old Methuselah. Verse 48. The nature of the man made of dust is repeated in all men, all made of dust. And those heaven-minded are like the one from heaven. Verse 49. So that just as we have been made like the material pattern, so shall we be made in the heavenly pattern. See, our spiritual makeup is like God. We are created in God's image. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, first of all, I read it in God's word, which I've learned to trust. Secondly, I see it, as we talked about last week, in what we are capable of doing. We just sang some songs that had a message. There's an article in National Wildlife. I was interested in this because it talked about all the things that animals do to help each other. And I want to read the subtitle. It says, scientists have recorded apparent acts of kindness among animals, ranging from primates to birds to bats and insects. But are all such behaviors truly altruistic? See, we have people that give not from their abundance, from their very livelihood. But what this article is saying is that when you look at vampire bats that share blood with each other, because it's sometimes a shortage of blood, when you see a whale, I don't know whether you can make this out or not, who rescues a seal from a killer whale, there's a reason for doing that. The article points out that the whale usually has only one threat to its offspring, and that's the killer whale. And by helping the seal, it diverts attention from its own young. So we have within us capabilities unique to man. We can create art. We can create music. We can worship God. We can sacrificially give to help others. For too long, I was sending you a new proposal to clean up the highway. You say, well, that doesn't do me any good. No, but you're a human being. And you're created in the image of God. And you care about where you live. And you appreciate beauty. So make Michigan beautiful. My dog could care less. The humans have a unique characteristic. But Paul doesn't leave it there. Listen to this, verse 50. I tell you, brethren, it is utterly impossible for flesh and blood to possess the kingdom of heaven. Oh, I don't want this body to be all I ever have. I've seen a lot of atheists die, including most members of my family. And for them to approach the end of life and realize I've had the best I'm ever going to have was so depressing, so miserable. My mother, who was an atheist for 93 years, when she got to that point, said, I don't want to be an atheist anymore. My brother Bill, who had lived pretty much with his mother's faith as an atheist, when he got to the point of realizing, because of Parkinson's disease, that he wasn't going to live on, wanted to be baptized into Christ. I had the privilege of doing that in a bathtub because the prejudice of the United States Air Force was so great, they wouldn't let us use the swimming pool. But he wanted something better. He wanted to wash away his sins. It is utterly impossible for flesh and blood to possess the kingdom of heaven. These perishable bodies of ours are not the right kind to live forever. Amen. I don't want to live forever. But now starting with verse 51, we have such a great comparison. Listen to this. Take notice. I'm telling you a secret. Okay, Paul, what is it? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Yes. Yes, I want to be changed. How's that going to happen? Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we who are still alive shall suddenly be utterly changed. Verse 53. For this decaying part of us must put on the body that can never decay. And this mortal cloth itself with immortality. Oh, no more high blood pressure. No more side effects. No more arthritis. That finger, no, it's gone. It won't be curved anymore. And Jim Harris Savage will no longer have to face the ravages of cancer. And my son Tim will no longer have to deal with COVID, with muscular dystrophy, which the COVID started again, with blindness. I was talking to Tim on the phone yesterday and he said, you know, Dad, I'm really looking forward to seeing Mom again. But he hasn't seen Mom since he was 6 years old. Verse 54. For when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55. For where now, O death, is your power to hurt us? And where, O grave, is your victory you hope to win? Verse 56. You can never hurt us again, for our sin, which gives you your power over us, will be gone. Sin will no longer have that power. Thanks be to God. Verse 57. The victory is ours. It makes it ours by our Lord Jesus Christ. Stand firm then, my dear Christians. Verse 58. And work for the Lord always. Work without limit. You know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever wasted, as it would be if there were no resurrection. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant like those who have fallen asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men. Who have no hope. I miss my brother. I miss my mother. I miss my first wife. God has blessed me with some answers to those losses. But the ultimate answer is what Paul stated in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8. The time has come for my departure. I'm close, folks. But I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Like all who have longed for his appearance. Have we fought a good fight? You say, well, I can't preach. No, neither can I. I got lots of witnesses to that. That's not where the greatest application of the gospel is. Got a telephone, you know how to use it? Have you fought a good fight? Can you take a grabber and pick up some trash? Have you fought a good fight? Can you visit somebody? Have you fought a good fight? You know, Paul said in Philippians 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. If you're capable of hearing me this morning, you have time left. Make it count. Yeah, what shall I choose? I'm still reading Philippians 1, verse 21 through 23. I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. The only reason to continue living is because God lives in us. The Spirit lives in us. And we are called to bear fruit. We're not an animal. We're not confined to a physical body. But we have a promise. And that promise is eloquently stated in number 717. You can have victory in Jesus by obeying him, by serving him, and by bearing fruit. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be a leader. You don't have to be a song leader. You don't have to do anything except what God has called you to do. And God knows you. I think back to my brother, Jim Harris Savage. Look at what he did in life. He didn't live as long as I wish he had lived. But he impressed me so many times in so many ways, and he spoke to us in so many ways. And he has victory in Jesus. Let's sing number 717 together. Bill.